Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is one of the most popular talk shows in Seattle, and now we have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. During our first hour, I'll be bringing on my good friend Simon Parks from England, and then it'll be followed by an interview, the rest of an interview with a lady named Jane Stanfield during the 3 to 3:30 p.m. segment on the Secret Space Program. After that will be James Redfield, who will be coming on at the bottom of the 3 to 4 o'clock hour. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support. Out of This World Radio was a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And if you'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I'd also like to thank Corey and Sol in Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Marian Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and all my friends in Saskia all these wonderful people I know in Dresden and Conrad in Germany for their wonderful support. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience of over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, and of course, and Eric, my wonderful producer. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I'd also like to thank Corey and Sol in Kirkland for their generous donation for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. Been fundraising for a new library for the Hopi. They don't have a functioning library. There's almost 20,000 people on the reservation, and they really don't have... There's a bookmobile, but there's no central location for a library. So I'm fundraising now for that. If you'd like to contribute either books, computers, or donations, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. They still need clean water filters on the Hopi and also on the Navajo reservation. The drinking water on both the Hopi and Navajo reservations are completely contaminated by carcinogenic radiation and arsenic. I know that sounds incredible, but it's a situation that's been going on for about 70 years. And if you'd like to help out with these, with get them clean water, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. For only $125, you can get a new clean water filter for either the Hopi or the Navajo, and they can have this that helps them have clean water for many years. Also, I wanted to tell everyone that I'm going back to Mount Shasta again next month from September 5th to the 11th, which is one of the world's most spiritual places. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur, and we always see many Sasquatch and lots of UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. It's a very healing place. My eyesight was healed last September when I went to Mount Shasta from 20/50 vision, blurry vision in my right eye, to 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes now. Also, I wanted to mention that tomorrow on Saturday, August 17th, I'll be giving readings at the South Tacoma Psychic Fair off of 54th Street at Masonic Temple in Tacoma, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I hope you can come. Then on Saturday, August 24th, I'll be giving readings at the Ocean Shores Psychic Fair in Ocean Shores, Washington, and Michiko Hayashi will be there too, giving Haro treatments. And then on Saturday, September 14th, I'll be hosting my own Galactic Wisdom Fair at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington. I'll be giving a presentation on Tom Palladino's wonderful healing scalar energy program, and there will also be myself and other vendors giving readings as well. If you'd like to come, please show up. It's a free event. Also, we have room for vendors if you'd like to come. You can either email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or give me a call anytime at 509-750-9793. And now I'd like to go to, before we go to Simon in England, I'd like to go briefly to Michiko, who's in my sweetheart, who's in Tokyo right now. Mitchie, tell us a little bit about what you'll be doing here at the end of this month.
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much. Yes, I will be in Bellingham, Washington, mm-hmm. On the 24th. Well, before that, in Westport with you on the 24th, giving Hado session, healing sessions to people who need it. Ocean Shores, right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And on the 25th on Sunday, I will mm-hmm. be at Unity Spiritual Center in Bellingham, Washington, giving my presentation and message from water between mm-hmm. 12:30 and 2. And after 2:30 until the evening, I will be giving my Hado sessions individually on the 25th and 26th. After that, the 27th in the evening, 28th in the evening, and 29th, Ted and I will be in Montana and I will be giving my presentation and message from water and Hado sessions.
In the Whitefish, Montana area. So I hope
exactly.
Hope you can come.
And
go ahead.
Then Yelm UFO Festival.
At the end of-
In Yelm on the Yeah, at the end of this month, 30th and 31st. And on the 30th, I will be giving a lecture to children along with a presence of this children's book, The Message from Water to All Children, on the 31st, presentation for adults between 12 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know that's a lot. If you're listening or driving in the car and you've got all these dates and things coming up, just send me an email. The easiest thing, and I'd be happy to give you.
I don't want to give you a lot of work. They can email me also, then I can give the schedule.
Right.
My email is Hayashi, Hayashi, at Hado, Hado.com.
I'll also have the event, my website at outofthisworld1150.com updated. So by Monday, I'll ask that it be updated.
Okay.
Friend Carol
okay,
to update
good.
It,
thank
so you.
You
won't have to search very much. Well, great.
All right.
Well, great.
Okay.
Well,
just thank you so much.
Real briefly, I want to tell people this is a very special thing that Mitchie will be doing because it's normally you have to fly all the way to Tokyo to get this kind of treatment with Hado sessions, but she's going to be here in the Northwest. So if you are loco and you do want to have a Hado treatment, this is the same technology, but it's improved now that Dr. Emoto used to use before he passed away in 2014 to successfully treat and mm-hmm. diagnosed about 10,000 people. So all kinds of things can be helped with this method. So if you are interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or just give me a call at 509-750-9793.
Okay.
And, great. Great, sweetheart.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And thank you so much, Simon, for giving me your time.
Okay. All right. All right, Mitchie, have a beautiful day or morning there,
thank
I guess.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye, everyone. Have a nice weekend.
Arigato gozaimasu, Mitchie.
Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you.
Gozaimasu. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Simon, welcome back to the program. It's so good to talk to you again, and our connection's very clear today. That's wonderful.
Hello, Ted, and it was really nice to hear Michiko. I don't know how you people remember dates and times. I don't even remember what I did yesterday, so I was greatly impressed. It sounds a very busy schedule.
It is. I remember talking to Nostradamus about 4 years ago, and he was back. The year was December 1540, Simon, and he was sitting up. And in front of this big oak desk, and he'd ripped up all these quatrains about World War III happening on the planet during this time in history, and then he pulled out this blank parchment with a quill pen, and he said, "What kind of world are you and your friends going to create?" And I said, "Well, we'd like to create a world of peace and harmony and without war," and he said, "Well, you better get to work." So that's what keeps me busy, so I try to remember all my dates and everything. Sometimes I forget. I try to write it down, but I try to remember everything, too. So believe it or not, if you eat lots of eggs, eggs have lecithin. Lecithin helps memory. So anyway, I do eat eggs. So
I think what impressed me with Nostradamus was that, mm-hmm. You know, people say that if you write enough things, then at some point, you know, you will predict the future. But in Nostradamus's case, I thought what was outstanding was I think he was only about a year or 2 years out with the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And you can correct me because you'll know more than I do, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
But Adolf Hitler, didn't he say hister? Did he?
He said hister. That's correct.
That's
yeah.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, you know, nobody who was just trying to make things up
right.
would have any clue that somebody with that sounding of a name many hundreds of years later would be responsible for a war. So, you know, no matter how many tricks or lies the establishment put through, there are right. people in history who truly do see the future. And I think he was one of them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And he truly cared about humanity. And one thing he's told me, too, is that, you know, it's time is not fixed in the future because of our free will here on the earth. And it can still go lots of different ways. But Nostradamus tried to guide people away from a future of a World War III or Armageddon and onto a beautiful, bright future. And all of us here, all of us light workers, including you, certainly, Simon, and my show, and so many millions of light workers here on the planet, we've all made a difference, and we've changed the course of what was World War III. It's not going to happen now. Instead, we're on a different timeline with a really beautiful, bright future ahead of us. Of course, that's not to say we don't have challenges, but we're on the right track, and I'm confident that humanity will continue to make the right choices to create a really beautiful and harmonious planet.
Ted, what I think is interesting is that when I've only cursorily looked at the Nostradamus mm-hmm. subject,
mm-hmm.
but what
mm-hmm.
I thought was interesting was that he appears to be remarkably accurate
oh, yeah.
up to about maybe the 1960s or 70s,
right.
and then I believe his accuracy drops off, and I think that's because the planet became more spiritual than he counted for.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the predictions that he's made for the future, I think, are not accurate simply because mm-hmm. he was looking at a timeline that was less effective than what we've created at the moment.
Right, right. And President
because
Kennedy...
Beg your pardon, because he predicts a third world war,
right.
I seem to remember. But I think he was looking at the timeline that didn't include all the effects that have occurred in recent times.
Right, right. We're writing our own history right now.
Yes.
But since that time, when I first visited him about 4 years ago, since that time when I visited him, he's busily scribbling again, but it's on good things happening on the planet, and about related things related to like doubling and tripling of longevities, of our lifespans, getting rid of disease, having free energy, people truly living harmoniously without war or conflict or fighting. So those are the things he's writing about now. I should probably sit down and talk to him sometime soon to see what he's written so far, but.
Yeah, because I think, Ted, when he was writing in the 16th century,
mm-hmm.
he's having to revise it
right.
because the earth and the humanity have taken a turn for the good,
mm-hmm.
which he probably didn't calculate was going to be that strong. So
right.
what he was working on was the energies that he could read at that time.
Right.
And now that things are looking better, he's probably thinking, well, I need to revise my more recent updates. And I think that actually I see that as very positive.
Well, the one thing too, and I want to thank my good friend Professor Albert Einstein for introducing me to Nostradamus, and of course President Kennedy, that and his brother Robert F. Kennedy as well. But I think what's happened is that they didn't count on a person like John F. Kennedy coming into the picture in the early 60s. And you know, President Kennedy the U.S. president, he's still president on the other side in the spirit world and still tirelessly working for peace. Jack Kennedy told me last year about the peace agreement, or a year and a half ago, the peace agreement he was working on behind the scenes with Kim Jong-un in North Korea and President Trump. But he said to keep it quiet till it's solidified. Then he gave me the green light a couple months ago to go ahead and talk about it. I can talk about it now, but last year when he was working on it. He said, just keep it confidential. But he's tirelessly working on the other side now with other countries too, for world peace. And you may ask, well, how does he do it? He goes into the subconscious mind in the dream state with many of these world leaders. And sometimes the leaders can actually hear him consciously during the day, and they know about him. And he is helping on the other side, he tells me.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not something that, you know, I think President Trump does talk to President Kennedy, but it's not something he's going to announce on media. They think he's crazy, but, you know, but I want to let you know President Kennedy is working behind the scenes. And I have to tell you, I looked at your website, and I laughed when I saw the, we'll have a little fun at the beginning of this hour, about the Bill Clinton bizarre painting. Where on earth did that show up? Anyway, is that the new White House painting? Or
No. You know it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, what happened was that when the federal agents started to break into a number of Epstein's mansions, mm-hmm. they actually found this in one of the rooms.
Oh, my goodness.
The question is whether ex-President Clinton really did put on a blue dress and red high heel shoes, mm-hmm. which is very similar to what Monica Lewinsky was wearing.
Interesting.
Oh yes, that's why it's there. You see, a blue dress and red high heels. That's what she used to wear. Now, whether the question is, and only the artist who painted this could tell us, whether really Bill Clinton, ex-president, did put on a dress and high heel shoes, or whether the artist was just asked to paint it out of his imagination.
Right.
But on my website, I said, look, regardless of that, mm-hmm. the question must be asked, what sort of a bizarre relationship was it between an ex-president mm-hmm. and Epstein that a man would have a painting of an ex-president in his house
yeah.
with the president dressed in a woman's dress?
Right.
What sort of relationship did they have? And that question actually needs an answer.
I just asked the question to my guides, and they said, you don't even want to go there. So I'm not going to go there on the air. Maybe afterwards, privately.
Well, yeah. I absolutely agree, but I tell you what.
Yeah.
Ex-President Clinton used to make an absolute pile of money going around giving talks and after-dinner speeches to all of these sort of highfalutin clubs.
Right.
He won't get a single request now to do any more talks because people will see that. And I mean, look, we're all very, very open, and I don't mind cross dressers. I don't have a problem. And I don't think that Democratic politicians are cross dressers or liberals are cross dressers. It doesn't matter. But the fact is that there has to be an answer to why a person would have a painting of an ex-president like that. Now, what I can also tell the listeners, which is a bit weird, is that when you walked in to this mansion that Epstein has, he had imported hundreds of glass eyes from Great Britain and set them in the ceiling of his house. He also had a stuffed lion and he had a stuffed chihuahua. He also, this is where it gets, you know, we begin to see what's going on here. Hmm. At the bottom of his staircase, he had a very large chess set, and each piece of the chess pieces mm-hmm. were modeled after a member of his staff, whether it was the maid or the butler. They were all modeled after them with faces like it, and all in scantily dressed clothes. Now, I'm not making this up. People who know me know that I don't make stuff up.
Yeah.
So if you go into Epstein's mansion, you will find a large chess set, and all the pieces are modeled after his staff, all in semi-naked positions. Now, God's sake, and I mean that, for God's sake, what's going on here? So hope answers are given, Ted, because we need them.
Well, if Rod Sterling was alive today, I'm sure this would be good material for a new Twilight Zone episode. They actually had a Twilight Zone episode about, I don't know, 20, 30, back in the late 50s, early 60s, Simon, where people, during the show, of course, these segments would turn into mannequins, and they'd come back and they'd find them as mannequins. But, I'm sure the truth will come out somehow. Oh, this leads me to my next question. A lot of questions coming out, Simon, about Jeffrey Epstein, whether he was actually murdered. Several psychic friends of mine have remote viewed the situation, and they say he's in a safe house somewhere talking. I've had other reports, and I'm sure you have lots of information too, Simon, about how he was found with his neck broken, indicating a homicide. I don't think it was coincidence that the guards just disappeared for 3 hours, and I think reading somewhere that the security cameras were also turned off. So what have you heard, Simon? What really happened, you think, to him there in the jail?
Well, I can confirm that the security cameras were turned off, mm-hmm. and I can confirm that the night before he was taken off suicide watch. Mm-hmm. I can also confirm that at least one of the guards was not a regular person, was just suddenly brought in. Mm-hmm. I can also confirm that he wasn't killed. He was wheeled out in a chair. He had handcuffs on, not behind his back, but in front. Mm-hmm. And he was put into a vehicle which were guarded by Marines. Mm. The American Marines guarded it. Now, I don't think he's in a safe house. I think he's either on a ship, literally on a ship somewhere, mm-hmm. sitting out in an ocean, or he's some underground base. Mm. Whether we like it or not, he probably will be given a large amount of money, mm-hmm. a change of name, mm-hmm. and will be probably put somewhere in South America. Mm-hmm. And I think the deal here is that he's probably passed them information which they wouldn't have been able to get from anywhere else. So mm-hmm. to answer your question, I do not think he was killed. I think he was removed to protect him right. from his own side, basically.
Interesting. Well, as Susan Miller, who is an excellent astrologist, said on my show about 4 years ago, Simon, she said in the spring of April of 2015, I'll never forget this, or 14, not 5 years ago, she said, this is a time of truth, and things that are true will become more self-evident and truer, reveal themselves to be true. There will be no secrets, and those that are false will also be revealed as being false. So in this period is going to last for many decades. This is a time of truth for the planet. And so I know the truth will come out somewhere, somehow. Somebody will talk, and we'll find it in the mainstream media eventually. We'll see. Yeah,
I think it's a problem because for thousands of years, right. the planet has been lied to.
Right.
So we can't just expect to go from that to truth in just a matter of a few days or a few years. Mm-hmm. I think it will take time, but I think that the process we're on now cannot be stopped.
Right. No, I agree. And all of us, and I want to thank all the hard work you do, Simon, too, to raise consciousness and bring truth to the world, because without you and shows like mine, people would be totally in the dark. But things have changed, and it's getting much better. I know that. I can feel it getting much better.
I'm shocked at just, you know, people know that I've got the highest regard for America. You know, it's my favorite mm-hmm. country, mm-hmm. and that comes across, and I don't try to hide it. And I'm just so shocked right. at the lack of news, real news, yeah. that the people of America are given. And it's just totally disgraceful that the most powerfulest country in the world mm-hmm. is so meager with its news. And I just don't get it.
When I was in college back in the 70s, on early 80s, we actually had journalists in this country, Simon, who worked hard to ferret out news for the public. There was all kinds of shows on television. And there were lots of good journalists, even at the New York Times and the Washington Post, that really worked hard to bring out news for the people, for the people, not only this country, but for the world in general. But there's been a change gradually over the years. So now it's really weird, but the many of the same stories you find in one paper will be reprinted verbatim in other newspapers. Yeah. And it's like the news has not really gotten free. It's gotten very, very controlled. No different than the old Soviet Union, where you had Pravda, which meant the truth, or no, Izvestia, which meant the truth. It's really no different than those controlled populations, but it's a different kind of control. But I agree with you. This is where alternative media like my shows and your program come out, because people want the truth. They're tired of being lied to, and they want information, you know. And so that's what I know both you and I try to do is to ferret out the truth and then let people decide what they want to believe.
So. But Ted, what again I don't get is that these people are very powerful and they see their ratings dropping, mm-hmm. but they don't try to change it. They just carry on with the same old thing until, to be frank, they'll be irrelevant. Well, people will not listen to them any longer.
Well, with all due respect to CNN, I mean, I used to watch it, but the ratings for CNN have dropped below what people watch for the cartoon channel here in the United States. And I've watched every once in a while, I will turn on CNN, but not very often, but I look at the advertisers and I thought, why don't they advertise in alternative media or other programs? Because they're not getting the coverage that they used to, and yet they're still hanging on. I don't know. I think you're right. I think the mass media outlets which are losing market share eventually will become irrelevant. They'll be sort of like a joke, so people don't really pay attention.
I think because the advertisers are probably not allowed. Hmm. There's some rule that says they've got to stay with the dying group, mm-hmm. but ultimately at some point mm-hmm. Their sales will be affected and they will look and see who is actually securing large numbers of listeners or audience, and they will change, and it's just market forces. At some point it will happen, Ted.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like the turn I've seen it in this country recently, Simon, where as an example, Hunt's tomato ketchup, for recent years, ever since they've been using genetically modified corn syrup in the ketchup, people complained. They didn't like it. They didn't like using ketchup, and they saw their market sales started falling because people were waking up about it. Now, guess what they've come out with? A brand of really good organic tomatoes without any carcinogenic GMO-tainted corn syrup in it. And so eventually the market will catch up. It's... And what you were saying a minute ago, it's a little bit like horse and buggy manufacturers and the car manufacturers, and the year is not 2019. The year is 1919, 100 years ago. And it's like horse and buggy manufacturers are still advertising on the major media back then in 1919, but the car manufacturers are catching up and just around the corner where there will still be horse and buggies out there, but the advertisers won't cater to them anymore because the market's changed. And I think people eventually, even mass media will wake up to the fact that their market has changed and they're not selling products anymore. They've become irrelevant. People don't pay attention to them. So they'll have to change or go out of business. Simple
as that. And a good example of that was a film a few years old now called Iron Sky. Mm-hmm. And for the audience who are not familiar with it, it was a film that talked about Nazis, Germans living on the moon with flying saucers and all the rest of it.
Really?
But yes, Iron Sky, if you can get it. Mm-hmm. Now, that film was banned in Great Britain. They banned it, but of course, it's a global market, and I, like many others, we went on a certain auction site and we bought it from other countries. I think I bought mine from Australia or somewhere. But mm-hmm. the point is that you can't just say, no, you can't do this or we can't do that, because people will find a way around it. And what happened with Iron Sky was that the Hollywood refused to fund it because of the topic, and so they did it on a Kickstarter. So they actually created Hollywood blockbuster through self-financing. And that's the point, that there's enough people out there now who will turn to the alternative or the truth, and they'll support it. So that's why I said I think it's a dying breed.
Right.
I do think these other people are going to become insignificant, and I think in the next 5 years there'll be a huge change between what we at the moment call the establishment and what we call the alternative. And I think it's going to swap round, and
right.
the alternative will become the norm, and the establishment will become the crazy lot out on a limb.
I couldn't agree with you more. Very, very, very sharp and astute and profound point, Simon. Thanks so much for sharing that. I know my listener base has skyrocketed over the years, and it's a nonprofit program supported by donations, and I've been going strong now for 6 years, and I really appreciate everyone's wonderful support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world, and people want the truth, too. They're tired of being lied to, and that's why I like your work too, Simon. It's not easy doing this, but it's fun, and I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, I don't know that it's fun, Ted. I think what else could we do, Ted? This is what we have to do.
Yeah.
I think it's fun because we enjoy getting the truth out there,
right.
but the process to do it is not always fun, is it? It's quite harsh and it's quite demanding,
right.
but it's a pleasure to do it. I think that's how I would put it.
Absolutely. And this is where your heart is, and my heart is there too. And I guess this leads me to my next question. I've had several questions come in for you relating to Hong Kong. I'm glad for the people of Hong Kong that that the riots have calmed down. But I don't see, I see the long-term trend for more democracy in China. I don't see the Chinese government being successful in stopping everything in Hong Kong. What do you see happening there, Simon?
About 2 or 3 days ago, I think it might be 2 days ago, I put an alert out on my website saying that there was a real danger that the Chinese mainland military were going to invade.
I saw that, yeah.
Okay, and it's interesting that today in the establishment newspapers there are pictures of large numbers of Chinese troops, tanks and trucks all getting ready. Now I think this is posturing and politics, and I think that that's why President Trump, your audience may not be aware, but President Trump sent a tweet to the Chinese president offering to meet him. And it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek, sort of a jest, but the point was that he was basically politically saying that America would not stand by idly if China invaded Hong Kong. The problem is for the audience that legally Hong Kong does belong to China, but there are certain safeguards because Great Britain used to own Hong Kong. And when Great Britain transferred Hong Kong to China, there were safeguards written in that meant that the Chinese people living in Hong Kong had more freedoms than those on the mainland. Now, that was always been a bone of contention for the mainland Chinese, but nevertheless, to break that would be horrendous. So that's what's happening at the moment. President Trump has sent a tweet to the Chinese president offering to meet him. And both sides, as you quite rightly said, Ted, both sides have calmed down, because if the Chinese did invade, all of the lawmakers in Hong Kong would be sacked because the Chinese would say, we don't need you anymore. So both sides, both demonstrators and government, are now desperately seeking a way to cool it.
Yeah. I remember having a conversation with Adama, actually, who's the high priest of Telos at Mount Shasta last year. And my friend Jason from Vancouver was with me, and we asked Adama about the changes in China, and they said that there's all kinds of good things happening now in China as far as like changes go, leading it to be a more democratic country, that there are a lot of good people in China who want this to happen. It's a slow process. And I asked him what the time frame was, and he said it was between 1 to 3 years, depending upon our own choices. So I myself are just watching and waiting, and I hope the country can find a middle ground that respects human rights and gives freedom to its people, and where people are truly happy, you know. So, and I'm confident they will. I think they will make the right choices. But I've been told again and again recently, Simon, that there are many changes happening in China, good things happening in China for their people and for the world, but you don't hear about it, of course, on the media. But good things are happening there.
See, I would agree with that, Ted. I don't have many connecting consciousness members in China, but I do have a few. Mm-hmm. And when I have spoken to them, I have to say that the Skypes have never been cut off. They've never been interfered with, and they've always been of the highest quality.
Sure.
So I think I take that as a positive sign.
Right. Well, I wish the Chinese people well in making the right decisions. And you have to remember, too, that the vibrations of this planet continue to spiral upward. And then that cannot help but help people raise their consciousness, raise their vibrations, and to make better choices toward a beautiful planet based on peace and harmony. I know that may sound, overly optimistic, but I do see some good times ahead for the future and China as well. I know it's coming. So, boy, what an interesting time to be alive, isn't it, Simon? All kinds of things happening. What about, if you don't mind me, I've got some questions, but what would you like to talk about? We got about 20 minutes left.
No, Ted, let's do the questions. Otherwise, the audience will say, they don't want to write in. Let's take their questions.
Okay, well, this one's regarding this nuclear cruise missile in Russia. What was really going on, as far as you know, what was happening with that? Why would, for example, why would President Putin test a nuclear cruise missile when, people think that he's a man of peace? Why do you think? Do you think that there's a problem with Putin's government, like we have here in the United States, where there's lots of different factions within the Russian government, and one faction decided to send off this cruise missile and test it? Or
no, the test missile was never supposed to be launched.
Hmm.
They were testing the engine. It wasn't actually supposed to leave the test bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was for launch. They were testing the engine of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the engine that blew up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the warhead that exploded. It was the engine. But with the engine, when the engine exploded, it ruptured the metal shell of the missile, and there was some contamination. But really serious, but there was some contamination. Mm-hmm. But the missile, you see, the strategic talks are quite difficult to understand, but basically, if you don't fire a nuclear missile, it doesn't break any treaties.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. Yeah, if it doesn't leave the ground, you haven't broken any treaties.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point about this was that it was to test the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scientists want to, there are lots of questions about velocity and, et cetera, et cetera. So, right. And that's where it went wrong. It went wrong on the test bed.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I have another question. It was I was actually talking to Q the other day, and he said for the UK, your country, to have all these massive power failures, it had to be an inside job, because if it was like one transformer and maybe a town or part of a town didn't get their electricity, that was one thing. But to have such a coordinated attack on an entire country is a very different matter. Do you have any information more on that, what happened with that, Simon?
I would agree with that. I mean, what I do know is that there were two, I call them power stations. There was one standard power station, and there was another one, which is a wind turbine, so mm-hmm. a wind farm.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd both got instructions to turn off. So some days beforehand, it may even only been the day or 2 days beforehand,
right.
But they were both told to kill the power and turn it off. Mm. So what on earth did they expect? If you knock out two big generating factories, what do you expect? Now, it's very difficult, as we're not engineers, but
right.
You don't have to have a huge drop. Something like 50 kilowatts they're talking about. If it just drops one kilowatt or one point below it,
right.
There's still electricity coming through,
right.
But it's no longer even. It modulates up and down, and that sure. causes all the issues. So There's absolutely no way that was a coincidence. The question that I don't know is, what was the message? What was the message that was being sent? Mm-hmm. And that isn't clear at the moment. So yes, it wasn't a coincidence. It was deliberate.
Maybe it was a message to the government saying that if you leave Brexit, this is what we'll do. Because I remember you said it was related to Brexit. Would that make sense?
Yeah, but we don't know which side of the fence is doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you look in your own country, mm-hmm. there have been power cuts, but that's been done by the good side, mm-hmm. because one of the offices or places that lost power was perhaps an installation or a place that the bad guys were in.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's not easy just to target one block. Mm-hmm. You sometimes have to take quite a lot out. So what I'm saying is both the good guys and the bad guys use the same methods mm-hmm. sometimes. So it's not clear who was behind this.
Got it. I have a question from a listener. Thanks so much, Don, for sending this in about the stock market. He asks, is this recent downturn in the U.S. stock market an attempt to ruin the economy of the U.S.? And I know you've spoken about that before, where both the bad guys and the good guys want to ruin the economy, but for different reasons, or they want to keep it going. I'm not sure. What's your take on that? Who's behind this, or what's behind this recent downturn?
Excuse me, Ted. Right. Well, on the back of the trade war,
right,
that America is now dealing particularly with China, but it's not exclusively with China.
Right.
But on the back of that, the bad guys have got in an attempt to put pressure on the Trump administration by shorting out on the Dow Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So in this instance, it's the bad guys trying to put pressure, because you've got the primaries and you've got the election coming up. And one of the big key points for President Trump is to say, with some justification, mm-hmm. the economy is doing really well. I mean, every time I've looked at the employment figures
sure.
coming from the States, they've just gone up and up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And in my country, that's one of the biggest bellwethers, is how many people are in work.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump's got quite a strong platform, but I guess the bad guys are thinking if they can put a dent in the stock market, it undermines Trump saying how strong America is. So
yeah.
I'm no doubt that it's anti-Trump people trying to bring the economy down.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. This is from an old post. Another listener is asking about the, maybe we asked about this last week, about a possible Clinton arrest attempt. Any updates on that?
We did.
Okay.
And I'd said that I'd had two pieces of information, one where somebody was really not prepared to talk very much to me, and one where they were a little bit more open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when we think about an arrest attempt, we think about lots of agents banging on a door. But what I was trying to get across was that it was more to do with somebody probably in the Pentagon more than the White House, I think,
mm-hmm.
saying, can we go with this? And the person saying, well, we haven't had the okay from upstairs yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very serious attempt to start the arrest procedures. But it wasn't agents banging on the door. It was at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it shows that it's happening. I'm no doubt that at some point this will be the case. And the very fact that the authorities have leaked that photograph of Clinton dressed up as a woman, they could have hidden that. They could have just not released that to the media.
Right.
But they did release it. And the reason they released it is because this is an ongoing situation for the good guys,
mm-hmm.
is that they do believe that ex-President Clinton has some serious questions to answer, and this release of this painting picture is just another nod towards the fact that it's not going to go away.
What's funny is that other picture you have on the left side with Bill Clinton looking to the left looks like he's shocked. Where on earth did you get that picture? Is that a photoshopped, or is that a true picture of it?
It's very difficult to know with these things, but
right.
they're doing the rounds in the official line. All I can tell you is that, you know, even if it is Photoshop, what it's saying is that it's a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who knows anything about the US administration knows that they don't play things unless they're intending to run the long distance with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got elections coming up, and I think that, you know, this will be a very serious vote loser for the Democrats. I really do.
Yeah.
I think that it's, you know, Clinton was a big money man. He could go out and he could bring in lots of donors, lots of money, and he'd be wheeled out, particularly actually in the southern states.
Mm-hmm.
He would often go out to the southern states and speak. Well, he's not going to do any speaking now.
Right.
Absolutely no way.
Right.
So, you know, there's more to play out. Let's see where we go with it.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. You had a post, and I've been following this for some time, about storming Area 51. I think they've targeted September. Is that right? I don't remember the date, but over 1 million signatures on the Facebook page to storm Area 51. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think people are really going to try it?
I hope not. I'm being serious. You know, people would say, "Well, Simon, you know, you believe in this, but surely you should be the head of the organization. You know, you should be up there with my billboard, and I should be leading the charge."
Mm-hmm.
Point is that it is not right to put ordinary servicemen and servicewomen in a position where they could be ordered to shoot on the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point that I don't think whoever started this petition up haven't actually thought it through, because the ordinary soldiers who are guarding these facilities will be given an order. So this is not the way to do it. The way to do it is at the higher level. Remember, there's only one time in history, to my knowledge, mm-hmm. where this occurred, and that's when a president who was denied access to Area 51 had a very close relationship with a military division in the US. They were personally loyal to him through whoever was the commanding officer of that division. And he actually, on a phone call, said, "If you don't let me look round, I'll order this military unit to attack you." And they let him in, and he got the tour. So that is okay, but I do not believe I would like to see an angry mob trying to force their way into Area 51. The reality is they wouldn't get in. Unless you've got the right equipment, you're not going to get in. From a publicity point of view, I think it's great, but you need to have the cleverness to then say, let's come to the table. We won't march on you if you come to the table, and, you know, in public we have a meeting and we talk about Area 51. But unfortunately, there isn't that part coming up. So there's the threat of the march, but there isn't second part, mm-hmm. which is let's have a bit of diplomacy now, mm-hmm. and that's missing.
Sure. Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that, Simon. Appreciate it. We've got about 8 minutes left, and I've got a question that came in about the future of 5G. Do you think it'll be implemented throughout Britain and Europe and the United States and other parts of the world, or do you think people will be able to stop it or at least get some safety studies done so that people aren't harmed by the new technology?
I think it will come in,
mm-hmm.
And I think that it won't be closed down. I think it will come in. It's a terrible thing to say, but I think that there will be lots and lots of people going to the trauma rooms, to the accident emergency rooms. I think people will not be going into work because they've got nosebleeds or they've got headaches. And I think it's that which will then cause the system to have to rethink it. I don't believe that in many countries they will stop it. We know in Poland they have, and we know in Sydney in Australia they've banned it.
Oh, really? Excellent.
Yes, and there are other places, but there are most countries are absolutely under the control of a particular group. But I do believe that the public pressure will bring that about. Mm-hmm. I also can tell you that there are some technological devices coming down the pipe, which individuals will at some point be able to obtain mm-hmm. for a very reasonable price, which will give you personal protection from 5G. So I'm planning that unfortunately, they are going to roll it out, but that within a short period of time, they'll have to go back on it.
I see. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. Well, I'd like to see it stopped. I don't think the technology is safe yet. And before they implement it, I'd love to see some safety studies done, or at least put in some safeguards. I've heard all kinds of horrible stories where they try to implement 5G and birds die, and people have all kinds of problems, possible cancer effect. So it's not worth, whatever telecommunication system, the benefits are, the effects, the harmful effects far outweigh any kind of limited benefits from it.
I think Ted, you're right. I think the point is, to my knowledge, there's just no definitive medical study that's been done. There was some years ago some figure that was given, which is a safe figure, but I don't think they've ever stuck a person in front of one of these beams for 20 minutes and then measured it. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be putting myself forward as a guinea pig. But you're right, there just isn't any empirical evidence. There's no medical evidence. When SmithKline want to sell a drug, they've got to go test it through the right procedures. They test it, comes out safe, it's marketed, and they sell it. Well, where's the evidence that these waves have been tested? And you're right, Ted, they haven't.
Right. It reminds me of nuclear power back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, where there was such a push worldwide to build these nuclear power plants. But everybody, I mean, if there was a nuclear accident, what we'd lose, like called the China syndrome, we'd lose half the planet to radiation in it. And that Fukushima, by the way, is still a problem. Much of the radiation has been cleaned up by the Galactic Alliance. Thank goodness for their help. But they're not. I don't think there's any more nuclear power plants being built worldwide. It's too dangerous a technology. And this 5G system, it reminds me of the same thing. It's a headlong rush by many governments to build these systems without proper safety standards or safeguards for the population. And in places where they do successfully build these things, people are going to have such tremendous health problems, cancer and mental effects, all kinds of problems working, that it's going to be stopped.
See, Ted, the problem for Japan, of course, was that they were a net exporter before that disaster, and then they became a net importer. Now, you may be aware, because I know you have very strong connections out there, but they are on the verge of turning back on a number of reactors which had been turned off because of public opinion. But they are and going to sort of refire them up and get them going, simply because Japan is suffering economically, and they want to be more self-determining with their power. So, that might be something you could have a little look into, but I'm hearing that they're going to switch back on a number of these nuclear reactors.
I know the government of Japan, it must have been about 3 years ago, 2, 3 years ago, Simon, they enacted a law saying that they could fine and imprison any journalist for criticizing TEPCO or the nuclear power in Japan. So they've forced the media in Japan to keep quiet about Fukushima. Of course, I can talk about Fukushima on my show, but if you're in Tokyo and I had the station, according to their laws, I couldn't say anything against nuclear power or Fukushima in Japan.
Which is dreadful,
Yeah,
because
it is.
we assume that Japan is one of the democracies.
We assume, yeah. Right. And many people I know in the Fukushima area are, what's the right word for this? They don't want to face the issue. It's something that they just rather not talk, because I've tried to get a hold of people there to do interviews, and people just don't want to talk about it. They'd rather ignore it. So Japan needs help. I mean, dealing with this situation. I know the Galactics have stepped in and cleaned up a lot of radiation, but there is still radiation there. There was a Facebook post I saw about a month ago where TEPCO planned to dump millions of gallons of radioactive water from the crippled reactors right into the Pacific. I don't know what's happened since, but that was their plan anyway. I couldn't think of a more crazy thing to do, frankly. I just can't imagine it. But that's what they were planning on doing. We've got about 30 seconds left, 40 seconds left, Simon. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're welcome to have 20, 30 seconds and wrap up your wonderful interview today if you like.
Thank you, Ted. I will. I normally say no, but I think I will this time because okay. I want to push it onto a good note.
Okay.
I've always believed in America. I always think that America ultimately makes the right choice. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, whatever, I think America's moving in the right direction. And I think that the next few months we'll see some very good things coming out of the U.S.
Good. Good. Thank you, Simon. I hope you have a beautiful and happy happy weekend. And thank you again so much for coming on my show today, Simon. We really appreciate it. Milky Way, Hito wa nasei.